Here in Newfoundland and Labrador, we've reported one new case of COVID-19 yesterday, increasing the number of active cases in the province to 6. The most recent case involves a man between the ages of 20 and 39 years old in the Eastern Health Region and is travel-related. The resident of the province recently returned home from work in Alberta. The person is reportedly self-isolating and contact tracing is underway. Anyone considered a close contact has been advised to quarantine. Now, as a result of this new case, passengers on Air Canada Flight 7480 from Montreal to St. John's on Wednesday, January 13th, are asked to call 811 to arrange for testing. One person remains in hospital with the virus, but officials have declined to give details on their condition. Of those 6 active cases, all are in the Eastern Health Region. Now, Friday's COVID-19 briefing may be the last one until at least mid-February, where elected officials can take part. Mere hours after Friday's briefing ended, Liberal leader Andrew Furey, he dropped the writ for an election on Saturday, February 13th. Now the briefings will take place once a week and will only feature Dr. Fitzgerald. However, other ministers may be asked to take part if the COVID-19 situation changes. However, it was business as usual at Friday's briefing, with Health Minister John Hagee and Chief Medical Officer of Health Dr. Janice Fitzgerald. Premier Furey wasn't there, and at the briefing, VOCM's Richard Duggan, he questioned Fitzgerald about vaccinations, travel, and the consideration for allowing less effective vaccines into circulation.
Across the country, a lot of people have now received their double dose of the COVID vaccine. I'm curious, have protocols been put in place for people who have received both vaccinations and want to travel to Newfoundland and Labrador?
So right now, anybody who has received both doses of the vaccine, because the evidence is still evolving and we don't know really what the effect on disease transmission will be, we will only be able to find that out as we have more experience with the vaccine. The public health measures that we have in place will remain in place until we have more information and we have evidence to support being able to lift those measures. So right now, all of our guidance that we have given up to this point about, making sure you maintain physical distancing, wearing masks, washing your hands, isolation, all of that will remain in place.
And to that point, once again, before on these briefings, we've discussed the possibility of potentially giving out those proof of vaccination cards to those that have received their shots so they can more easily travel, etc. Wondering if we can get an update on that. Is that still something that we're considering, and what's the update on that?
So a proof of vaccination card, for the reasons I just talked about, would not really be something that would help people travel more easily at this point, because those public health measures would still have to be in place. And again, we don't know what the effect on disease transmission will be. So, if people want evidence to say that they've had the vaccine, that's one thing. But, how at this point, how it will make it easier to travel, and that is not, it's not really clear that that will be of benefit.
We continue to hear from rotational workers and some of their concerns regarding self-isolation and whatnot. We recently heard from one worker who's wondering why rotational workers from outbreak sites who have received a negative test result and are asymptomatic are required to isolate away from their families for the full 14 days still, rather than begin a modified isolation. So I guess, Dr. Fitzgerald, can you clarify the rationale behind that?
So our incubation period is 14 days, and that means that someone can turn positive anywhere inside of that 14 days. We know that people who are coming from an outbreak site are at a higher risk of being exposed to the virus and potentially contracting the virus than those who are not coming from an outbreak site. And certainly we have seen that the majority of our rotational worker cases have been related to outbreak sites. That is the rationale. We've tried to reduce the impact of isolation on rotational workers as much as we can, but we do have to balance, the safety, health and safety of the population with the well-being of those rotational workers.
And we've seen numerous other vaccines, or heard of other vaccines now, other than the Pfizer and Moderna, with varying degrees of effectiveness that are trying to get approved for use. How confident would you be in putting a vaccine into circulation that has one of those lower effectiveness rates, say 60%, how confident would you be in putting that into circulation here?
So I think A 60% effectiveness rate is better than no vaccine at all, with that would be no effectiveness. So, you know, it's our flu vaccine. We see this with our flu vaccines various years that, you know, effectiveness can be lower than others. It's still, we do still know in the example of influenza that it still reduces spread and it can be protective. So I think those are considerations that will have to be made as each vaccine becomes available and we have more information about the effectiveness of those vaccines. But you know, it's it'll be a weighing of risks and benefits, and if Health Canada deems that the efficacy of a vaccine is appropriate, then, you know, we will be using it.